Lord God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations, may the thoughts of all of our hearts, all of our minds, be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so Adam and Eve, they really were not hungry that day, right? Because where are they? They're in the lush, tropical Garden of Eden. They have all this fruit to eat. Life is good. But then the serpent comes, and the serpent asks, did God really say you can't eat any fruit from any tree in the garden? And Eve responds, she's a little naive. She says, of course not. God wants us to eat, but there are limits. There's one tree in the middle of the garden we can't touch. We eat from that tree, we'll die. Pay attention, here's Satan, that's who the serpent is, right? Satan. Satan, he sees an opportunity in this answer that he gets, and so he takes that opportunity. He says, no, not at all, you won't die. No, God knows if you eat that fruit, you'll become wise like him. And God doesn't want you to be like him. And that's all it takes. Eve, she looks at that forbidden fruit. She hadn't been hungry, but now she's starving. She's starving for wisdom. She's starving for power. She's starving to be like God. And she grabs a piece of that forbidden fruit, and she takes a bite. She hands some to Adam. Now, you and I, we're really not hungry, are we? We have families. We have jobs. We have homes. Life is good. And then the serpent comes. And the serpent asks, did God really say he doesn't want you to be happy? And like Eve, we answer that question, and we're rather naive, and we say, of course not. God wants me to be happy, but there are limits, things I can't do. And in that answer, Satan sees his opportunity, and he takes it. And he says, but why? If God wants you to be happy, why put limits on that happiness? And usually that's all it takes, right? We stare at that forbidden fruit. We weren't hungry, but now we're starving. Starving for pleasure, starving for power, starving to be like God. And we take a piece of that forbidden fruit, whatever it is we're tempted to do, and we take a bite. Now Jesus is hungry. He's starving. Jesus is not in a lush tropical environment filled with fruit to eat. He has been in the dry, arid Judean wilderness for the last 40 days with nothing to eat. He's desperate. Life is not good. And the serpent comes. And he says, Jesus, did God really say you are his son? Remember, just before Jesus goes in the wilderness, he's baptized. And what did God say? This is my Son, my love, with whom I am well pleased. But unlike you and I, unlike Adam and Eve, Jesus isn't so naive. Jesus doesn't answer. He's not going to give Satan an opening. But Satan knows that Jesus is hungry. He's starving. He's desperate. And he sees this as his opportunity, and he takes it. He says, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell those stones to become bread. Now, if this were Adam and Eve, if this were you and I, that would be all it would take, right? We'd take a bite. But not Jesus. He stares at the stone, then he looks at Satan, and he says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Here, Jesus doesn't give in. He doesn't take a bite. But Adam and Eve, we've already said, they took a bite. They're in the garden, and they hear God now walking through the garden. And they're terrified. Now, in the past, the sound of God's footsteps would bring joy to their hearts. They would rush at the opportunity to be in God's presence. But now something's different. Something's changed. They've disobeyed God. And now they're asking themselves this question. Will God still love me? Their sin is leading them to question God's love for them. And so they run and they hide. And I think sometimes we do the same thing, right? We sin. We recognize that sin. We become afraid. We run. We hide. I can't pray to God, no, because I'd be a hypocrite. Or I can't spend time in God's Word, or I can't come to worship because if people knew what I did, oh, they would point their finger at me. And the longer that we spend time away from God, the longer we hide from Him, the more we begin to question God's love for us. Jesus was in the wilderness. Satan was tempting Him, and he said, Jesus, does God really love you? Didn't God promise you would never have to suffer, that you wouldn't even stub your toe on a rock? Throw yourself from the top of this temple. Make God prove His love for you. But Jesus, He won't question God's love for Him. He won't doubt it. Instead, He says, Satan, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus doesn't take a bite. He doesn't give in. He doesn't run and hide. But back to Adam and Eve, that's where they are now, right? They're hiding. And God is walking through that garden. And He says, Adam, Eve, where are you? And Adam, he's hiding back here. And he cries out and says, we're back here, God. We heard you coming. Saw we were naked. We're afraid and we hid. And God says, how did you know you were naked? Did you eat that fruit I told you not to eat? And this is where Adam and Eve start playing the blame game. And Adam says, well, yeah, I did, but only because the wife you gave me told me to do it. And then Eve says, well, yes, I did, but only because the serpent you made told me to do it. So when Adam and Eve are confronted with their sin, they don't confess it here. They deny it, and they pass the blame on who? On God. And perhaps we do the same thing sometimes. We sin, God calls us out on it, and then we start playing the blame game. God, you're the one who made me. You made me the way I am. You gave me my desires. I'm just living out the urges you gave me. And when confronted with our sin, we don't always confess it. Sometimes we end up passing the blame, sometimes on God. Satan, he saw one last opportunity to get Jesus to sin. He took Jesus to the top of a tall mountain and he said, Jesus, look down at everything your Father has made. Look at it all. Isn't it great? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it awesome and beautiful? Question. Aren't you God's son? Shouldn't this belong to you? Why hasn't God given you what you deserve? Bow down, worship me, and I'll give it all to you, and no one will blame you. It won't be your fault. It will be God's fault because He didn't give you what you deserve. And again, Jesus, He refuses to take that bite. Instead, He responds, be gone, Satan. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. So Adam and Eve, they're tempted. They give in. They take a bite. You and I, too often, we're tempted. We give in. We take a bite. Jesus, He's tempted. Does not give in, does not take a bite. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, and we are reminded during this season that we are sinners, that like Adam and Eve, we've turned away from God, we've walked away from God, and because of our sin, someday we're going to die. That's what happens when you try to live life apart from the only one who can give you life. You die. And yet, despite our sin, despite our unfaithfulness, God's love for us does not die. There is one man who never sinned, one man who never gave in to the temptation, one man who never took a bite, and that's Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who became a man in order to die for us, that we might have life. Sin and death came into this world when Adam and Eve went to the tree. Forgiveness and life came into this world when Jesus went to the tree. When Jesus went to the cross, right? There on the cross, Jesus, He took our place. Jesus took our sin upon Himself, shed His blood for us, showing His great love for us, taking the blame for us, paying the penalty of our sin. And there on the cross, put an end to sin and death, the two fruits of Adam and Eve's tree. So now on Jesus' tree, Jesus' cross, we receive forgiveness and life. Now today you are called to live out the life that Jesus has won for you. That means to live like Jesus. So when you're tempted to sin, may you, like Jesus, find strength. Where did he get strength to resist temptation? In the Word. May you find strength in God's Word to resist temptation. Raise your hand if you're going to still give in sometimes and take some bites. All raise your hand. We're all going to give in. We're not perfect. When that happens, may you never doubt God's love for you. And when you are confronted with your sin, may you avoid playing that blame game. Instead, may you confess your sins and receive God's forgiveness. Amen.